Forte canzone con un stemma a rete, una cupulella che vi si era aizzata.
The 20th annual St. Louis Filmmaker Showcase is right around the corner. Starting Friday, you can see America's Last Little Italy, The Hill. That's when it debuts, Friday, through the 19th. And this is a documentary showcasing one of our beloved neighborhoods. And so we are so lucky to have the director, Joe Paleo, on with us. And Joe, are you from The Hill? What drew you to The Hill?
I'm not from The Hill. I have family that lived on The Hill growing up, and they live there to this day. But I am an Italian-American, and I am from St. Louis. So The Hill has been near and dear to my heart my entire life. So it's been a big part of my life.
So you started this project 2 years ago, and it really looks at past, present, and future?
Yes, exactly. That's pretty much the basis of the film is going all the way back to the 1890s, looking at the origin of the hill with the clay mines, the men coming over from northern Italy to come work in these mines and building their own neighborhood, building their own church, and really building something that still lasts to this day.
I mean, it really is kind of a little city within a city. It's one of the first places that I send out-of-town guests because it's so unique. What sticks out to you as you were doing more research about this cool neighborhood?
What really sticks out is the fact that this neighborhood still exists in its original form, which is an Italian neighborhood. Most of the Little Italies across America have either gone under completely, or they still exist, but they exist as only a tourist attraction or a place that sells, you know, trinkets, Italian flags, and has restaurants. The Hill has all that as well, but it has a rich tradition of residents passing down their houses from generation to generation, and that really isn't seen in these other Little Italies that are across America.
I've always heard it's really hard to get a house on the hill.
Yeah, I mean, that's just attributed to the fact that they are very... a lot of these people are living in the house that their grandfather, their great-grandfather mm-hmm. built. So that's really something that's special and unique to the hill.
There's also a lot of athletic stories that came from the hill.
Yes, the Hill was an incredible hotbed for athletic talent, especially in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. Yogi Berra and Joe Garagiola both grew up on the same block, Elizabeth
crazy.
Avenue, which was later renamed Hall of Fame Place in their honor. And also the Hill sent five players to the U.S. soccer team in 1950 that defeated England in what many people consider to be one of the greatest upsets in sports history.
Yeah, and that's a movie that's out that I haven't seen, but it's definitely on my list. Take us back. I know you mentioned the clay mines, but why did people end up in South City? And I want to say south of 44, but 44 was...
not there.
Yeah, not even there. You know, what was the landscape like in the late 1800s when kind of that second wave of immigrants from Italy came over?
Yeah, so the hill was full of clay mines. And what happened was there was a Belgian mining company that owned those mines. And what they did is they set up a recruiting office in northern Italy in which they were trying to get all of these young men. There was an influx of young men to come to St. Louis and work in these mines. And that's really how the hill originated.
Well, you've got a very German town named after a French saint. And now all of a sudden, these Italians start showing up. When did the hill become kind of the hill that we know today?
Well, I mean, it's been these men, they came over and there were not really many women there. So what they did is they sent back home, which is called for picture brides. They sent back home for the towns to send women for them to marry. The families would send a photograph of their daughter. The men would see it, say, yes, I'll marry this girl. They would bring her over. And so from there, they built their own homes. They built their own church, and it really started, and then they started building their own businesses. And that's really when the Hill started being exclusively basically an Italian, like you said, city within a city. So I would say probably within those, you know, early 1900s, it turned into an Italian neighborhood. But the Hill really was, a lot of people consider it to be its strongest during the 60s and 70s when Father Polizzi was the associate pastor of the Hill. And he really made it a goal of his in order to keep this neighborhood Italian when many of these other Little Italies across America started to go under. Polizzi witnesses this happening and decides that he doesn't want to allow that to happen to the Hill. So it's really the steps that he takes in order to keep the Hill Italian, keep that ethnic identity that really lasts to this day.
And when did it become the Hill? Like, I've heard different reasons that it's called the Hill, that it's one of the highest places in the city, and I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong on that. When did they start referring to it as the Hill?
So that actually is something that we get into in the film, is the naming of the Hill actually comes from these men that were working in the clay mines. When they would walk up the hill, they would yell out, La Montagna, La Montagna, which translates loosely to the mountain, which then got Americanized into the hill. And so that's how the hill got its name that we're still calling it to this day.
You drive up and down these streets looking for a good Italian restaurant, and you see all these kind of little bungalow houses there. What year were those built? I mean, it kind of seems like, you know, my grandma's neighborhood from the 50s or something.
Yes, well, there's two parts to the hill. There's the main part. A lot of those homes are what are called shotgun homes. And we get into that in the film. Is the men started building the shotgun homes, which really there's no hallway. It's just living room, bedroom, kitchen with no real walls separating them. Once after the war. World War II, a lot of these men started coming back over. They started coming back to the neighborhood, and they had the GI Bill, but there was no place for them to go. So there was a plot of land that they saw that they started using the GI Bill to build a new house there, and that's really where you're seeing those 1950s homes is post World War II, whereas the other homes were. You know, these are the original shotgun homes that a lot of these men built themselves.
You know, there are so many great restaurants on the Hill, and it's kind of, I would say, what it was, at least if people are coming in from out of town, that's probably what it's known for. Who really started that?
You know, the restaurants, I mean, when you have Italian people in their own area, you're going to have a lot of food, and that's one of the main portions of the film is the relationship of Italians and food. So a lot of the restaurants that you're seeing today, a lot of them originated in the 60s and 70s, and they're still thriving now.
So cool.
So that's really that relationship between Italians and food is one that's obviously synonymous.
Now, do you dare tip your toe in that toasted ravioli war?
Created
the toasted ravioli?
We do not. We stayed out of the toasted ravioli. That's a whole documentary in and of itself.
That's
and I
true.
Didn't think that I really didn't have the time in order. I'm dealing with it about 100+ years of history that I'm trying to get into an hour and 10 minutes. So yes, the toasted ravioli had to hit the cutting room floor. But I think people are going to be excited with what we do have in terms of the food.
Yes, and rest in peace, Charlie Gito.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we'll talk about the food again in just a second, but I got to ask you, I'm looking at a map right now, Joe, and Edwards, Wilson, Bischoff, I don't know if that's Dempsey, these are not Italian street names. Do you guys ever get in, or in your kind of look back, did you ever figure out where the street names came from and how come they're not named after prominent Italians?
I did not get into the naming of the street names, and I personally don't know why they are named, what they're named. I know there's obviously Marconi, and some streets like that, but I couldn't answer that question.
Who did you turn to for all of this history? Did you have one go-to historian that helped you out?
We had multiple historians that are in the film. The most prominent would be Gary Mormino, who wrote a book. He came in the 70s and did a book where he interviewed 200-plus Hill residents, and it was called Immigrants of the Hill. And so that was really one of the main sources for myself, was to be able to go through his book and kind of map that out. And luckily, we were able to fly him in from Florida, and he gave us a long interview that went through all of these things. One of the other main experts in our film is Joe DiGregorio, who was known as the Hill Tour Guide.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have those two, you know, really knowing everything there is to know about the neighborhood, they really ground the film in their ability to keep the subject moving from section to section in the film without having the use needing the use of a narrator. So that was a great help to us to have a lot of these Hill experts be there and be able to carry this film storyline through.
Yeah, so much rich history. We're talking to Joe Paleo, director of America's Last Little Italy, The Hill. And I know the documentary is premiering this Friday as part of the 20th annual St. Louis Filmmaker Showcase, which is going to be online this year, correct?
Yes, it's going to be a virtual festival because of the coronavirus. But looking at the glass half full here, everybody seems to be really excited about this project. And I think that more people now will have the opportunity than ever to see the film if it would have been an in-person festival. So, you know, this now gives the opportunity for everyone to, you know, go online and stream the film and be able to watch it from the comfort of their own home.
Do we have the world's biggest bocce ball court, indoor bocce ball court?
These are tough questions. I am not sure about that one. They do have the Italia America bocce court down on the hill that we did a lot of filming at, but I'm not sure in terms of size compared to other bocce courts across America where it fits in. But there is a beautiful bocce court down on the hill, so I implore everyone to go down there and check it out.
And then my other question is, do we know what the oldest restaurant still operating on the hill is?
That's another tough one. I couldn't answer that question. I'm sorry.
Well, there's just so much history there. And by the way, Joe, we have somebody texting in saying, Joey, I can't wait to see the film. I worked with your mom, Mary, for many years. And my dad played baseball on the streets with Joe and Yogi. Isn't that awesome?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what we love about St. Louis, isn't it? So, Joe, tell
100%.
Us, how can people watch? How can they learn more about the documentary?
So the film is going to be available through the St. Louis Filmmakers Showcase website. You can go there. Tickets are available. They're $10. You purchase a ticket. You'll be able to stream the film for 24 hours. You have the ability to actually rewind or watch it multiple times, which is something that is nice. They can also go to our Facebook page. It's America's Last Little Italy, The Hill, or facebook.com/TheHillDoc. You can go there. We have all the ticket information there as well. Check out the trailer. See if it's something that would hopefully the trailer entices them to buy the ticket and watch the film and hopefully enjoy it.
I know that this is not your first rodeo. You did a short film, Top Sun, which is screened across the country and also picked as part of Kevin Hart's Eat My Shorts competition and named a top finalist. And then it got screened at Just for Laughs in Montreal. So what is next for you? It sounds like you are off to a great start.
Yeah, we've been able to, you know, St. Louis is not known for filmmaking, but hopefully, you know, myself and some of the other filmmakers in the area are starting to change that. In terms of what's going on next, there are a few documentary subjects that I'm kind of looking at to see, you know, what interests me or what could be a potential subject to go into, but with the coronavirus, I'm not sure when we're going to be allowed to get into people's homes again with our crew and cameras and lights and audio and be able to get in there and be welcome into people's homes again. I just don't know. So we're pretty much at the mercy of how long the coronavirus goes on for until we're able to start our next project.
Well, Joe, thank you for being a part of the show. Keep in touch. Let us know what you're working on next. And again, you can see America's Last Little Italy, The Hill, starting this Friday. It's part of the 20th annual St. Louis Filmmaker Showcase. Best of luck to you, Joe.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I want to see that. I think that there is so much great history on the Hill. I always love doing stories and learning so much more about it. So many great restaurants. We have a texter who said the oldest eatery on the Hill would be Joya's Deli. That's probably true. That hot salami sandwich. Holy cow.
I just had it for the first time last year. Yeah. Every time I went to Joya's, it was too crowded. So
yeah.
But Ann Lemons Pollock is coming in. She's St. Louis Magazine. Her book, Lost Restaurants of St. Louis. People are already texting us their favorite restaurants that no longer exist. Mm-hmm. But maybe she, with her rich St. Louis history, knows if Joya's really is the oldest continually operating restaurant on the Hill. I got to ask you something, Heidi.
Okay.
We are both house weirdos.
Mm-hmm.
We like to look at houses.
Love it.